Tampa Horror fans, the wait is almost over. Limitless Broadcasting Network is officially heading to Scaradice, and we want to see you there. From February 27th through March 1st, the horror community is taking over, and you can find us at Booth 51. And we're bringing the absolute best of the network with us all weekend long. If you've been following our work, you know the detail we put into our custom ghost face masks. They are truly one of a kind, and you've got to see them in person. But that's not all. We are incredibly excited to debut our brand new Scream shirts. Whether you're a fan of the classics or the new generation, these designs are fresh and ready for your collection. So, mark your calendars, February 27th to March 1st in Tampa. Make Booth 51 your first stop to grab a shirt, check out the masks, and let's talk shop about all things horror. And if you can't make it to the show or want to see what else we're up to, visit us anytime at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. It's gonna be a scream. We'll see you soon at Scaradice.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. Gorge.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Don.
Hello.
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Don't forget to check out our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok.
See, we also have limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where you can sign up for our membership to not only get access to all of our podcasting things, but also all the other podcasting things that we have, and merch, and streaming, and music.
And things.
Lots of things.
Things and things and stuff. And
lots
and boots and
things.
And I don't even know what that's from. I just know that's a thing.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I forgot to. I only came up with two connection segments. Is there anything specific you guys want to that is going on that we want to bring up about the worlds of Disney?
I have no idea.
What was the one we did last time? We talked about the Star Wars things, and then
we talked about the Star Wars things, and we talked about Muppets being released, coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For our parents of littles, Bluey is coming to Animal Kingdom.
Is it?
Oh.
That is, yes, Bluey is coming, or is already there. I don't remember when they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So look into it. I'll just bring it up. When is Bluey coming to Animal Kingdom? Summer. So this summer, if you are going to Disney this summer of 2026 or after, and you have a little one who loves Bluey, Bluey is going to be at the convention station.
Conservation station?
Conservation station. Thank you. And that is accessible through the Wildlife Express train. So all the way out of Rafiki's planet. So you got to go, you got to walk all the way back, get on the train, take the train all the way out, and Bluey will be back there. The speculation is that they're putting them all the way back there to get everyone away from Dino Area because that is under construction.
That makes sense.
To kind of, yeah. So if you love Bluey,
there you go.
Great.
Put it on your timeline. It will be there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I don't know anything about Bluey.
I know nothing. Apparently, according to Ralph and Holly, Ralph told me multiple times, he's like, Ashley, you should just watch it. I'm like, I don't have any kids. I'm not babysitting. Like, Gracie ain't here anymore for me to babysit. He's like, it doesn't matter. He's like, Holly and I will just watch it to watch it.
He's like,
it is really good.
I heard there's a lot of good things in there for adults, too. So, like, it's...
Okay. I'm like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no desire to watch it. I'm be honest, if I'm going to watch a little kid show that I used to watch with Gracie, it's going to be Paw Patrol because I love those cute little dogs.
Yeah.
I miss watching Paw Patrol with Gracie. I'm like, dang it. Why isn't Gracie here anymore?
Mm-hmm.
She's probably not even little enough to watch it with Paw me Patrol. Anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Lily.
There you go.
I need my godchildren so I can watch these little kid shows. Oh, goodness. But yeah, that's Disney Connection Point.
There we go, Bluey.
There you go.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
Sammy, please take over.
Yeah,
my voice hurts.
Talking about blue things, we're going to talk about the sea with the Little Mermaid.
The sea is blue.
There we go. And it's blue. Yes. There's your segue. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm loopy.
Well,
kind of. The
kind
beach
of.
Is green to me. The water in the beach is green in my world.
I mean, it's
world.
like
I mean, I can see it in the Gulf.
That's the only beach that I go to.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like right there.
The east side.
The other side is blue.
More, it's more of a bluish, silvery gray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there we go.
The Gulf, you're landlocked for most of it,
yeah.
So I could see like algae and
yeah,
stuff kind of making
stuff.
It look
it's an emerald. It's an emerald green, emerald blue.
Yeah.
It's pretty though.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, I agree. Moving.
Anyway, so the Little Mermaid, continuing with our direct to video sequels, we're going to start with the Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea. This one was released in September of 2000, and effectively it's just flipping the script of the original movie. So now we're going to focus on Ariel's daughter. Her name is Melody, and she wants to go back to the ocean, which is why it's called Return to the Sea. There you go. There's the tie-in.
The first one should just be called The Sea Goes Away. At least now we know where it came from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm. Okay,
Return of the Jedi. Just have one word that says the Jedi goes away. Return of the Jedi.
Just so we can be very clear about what's happening in each of these films, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one, the story begins with the birth of Melody, who's obviously the daughter of Ariel and Prince Eric. And they're celebrating at sea with everybody, King Triton, all of that. King Triton has a little locket for this very small child who just chews on it because she is a baby
child.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. But who comes to the party but a party crasher? Morgana, who is the sister of Ursula.
Pardon me.
Bless you. So, didn't know this person existed, this squid, octopus, whatever they're supposed to be. But Morgana is mad because of what happened to her sister. So, she's going to steal the trident that belongs to King Triton.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Same plot, just different.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's really what we're looking at. So, Ariel, because she apparently has half a brain in this one, I don't understand what we're doing, decides she's going to build a wall. She
becomes her father.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes her father.
Yes. Like, where were you at? Where was the Ariel from the first one? Come on now.
Because she's not 16 anymore.
But even
she has
a
daughter.
But even so, I'm like, you have nothing left in the original Ariel. Like, you're wearing your hair up. You're not letting your daughter do anything fun. I'm just disappointed in Ariel.
Sock them on Ariel.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Actually,
I don't like it.
So they think she had Melody 2 years after she got married, which she got married at 16. Like, so she's 18 years old.
So she would not be like that at 18?
No.
I don't buy it. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Apparently, when you become a mother, like, your brain chemistry changes because all you think of is protect.
I mean, like, I want her to be a good mother, but I want her to, you know, not lose herself, which is what I feel like happened.
The apple doesn't fall very far. Well, actually, let's rephrase this. The shell doesn't fall very far from the ocean.
Evidently, because she builds this big old wall around the castle so that her daughter can't get into, like, the real part of the ocean. Like, she can, you know, do the little, like, moat thing that's hanging out in there, but that's it. But, you know, again, as Ashley said, the shell doesn't fall far in the ocean. And Melody is just like her mom.
Yes.
Yep, and she sneaks past the wall anyway to go explore the sea. Now, what I find fascinating in this one, too, is that nobody tells Melody about her heritage, about her, where her mom came from, all of that. And yet...
Which is so stupid!
And yet, Melody talks to all of these sea creatures and has a crab who babysits her.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wonder about that?
You don't find that. Yeah.
Doesn't she have friends? And she's like, you know, hey, and they're like, you can talk to animals? Like, yeah, I can't to everybody.
Right?
You would think.
Yeah, and they even say that at her party, right? They're like, oh, she's talking to a crab. Like, this is not a typical thing. People in this town do not just do that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Suspicious.
You're half mermaid, kid. Get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems a bit obvious.
She's fine with that.
Yeah, she clearly likes it. So, yeah. So, Melody, she ends up finding the locket. It's a whole thing, drama with her mom being all upset. So, she leaves, as one does when you're 12, even younger than Ariel was. I want to point that out.
Yeah, she was young. Yes,
she was young. She's only 12. She just had her 12th birthday. And so Morgana is going to trick Melody. She's just like, yeah, get the trident and I can make you a mermaid forever. And all these people are evil. Yeah, no idea that she's going after her grandfather. She has just no clue. No clue what's happening around her.
No clue.
Yeah. So then, you know, Ariel has to turn back into a mermaid, as one does, you know, to go figure out where she's at in the sea.
As one does.
And, you know.
I hate when I have to go back home.
It's just like, dang it. You know, I got to put the fin back on. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Back on. You know.
You know
how it is adjusting.
Does she even remember how to use it?
I know, right? I have so many questions.
Okay, wait. So 18 plus 12. So she's 30 at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not that old.
We're older.
No.
We're older than Ariel in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was just happy that, you know, when she turned back into a mermaid, I'm like, look, her hair is down. She looks like Ariel.
I know. She kind of like turned into a human queen. And I'm like, can we not, like, please?
Yeah. I'm like, at least let her hair down. Like, yeah, what are we doing with this?
I know. Her hair's beautiful. Yeah. She must still use a fork.
She did. And I don't care for it. I don't care for the Karen version of Ariel at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Not at all.
No.
Oh, boy. But okay. So Melody is voiced by Tara Strong. Ariel, of course, is still Jodie Benson because no one else could do that.
Jodie's still around. Yeah, she does all the singing for Ariel.
All the Ariel things. That is her. 100%.
Yeah. She's so devoted to that character and it's so wonderful to see.
She loves being a princess and Ariel. Yes, 100%.
I mean, I would too.
Yeah. And just how supportive she is when, like, other people do, like, you know, the other characters do, like, Broadway Ariel stuff, or
she loves it.
Yeah, you know, with the remake and everything. Like, she's she has so much love for it, and
she's all about it. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. Morgana is voiced by Pat Carroll, who was also Ursula. Surprise, surprise!
Okay, I'm like, isn't that? I was just looking it up. I'm like, isn't that Ursula?
That is Ursula. They're the same. They're the same. You know, she's just a skinny version of Ursula. That's all it really is at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yes. We get these new characters, Tip and Dash, who are a penguin and a walrus.
I love them. Mm-hmm. I love them.
They were cute. They were a cute little addition. And then we had Undertow, who is Morgana's shark. Well, he's supposed to be a shark, but he spends most of the movie not a shark. unfortunately for him. But he's her henchman. He's voiced by Clancy Brown. So, and I did do this through Gemini, and it always makes me laugh. They were just like, well, the music didn't reach the iconic status of the first film. It did have several catchy tracks.
When does it ever?
But I was like, did it though? I couldn't tell you a single word in any of these songs. I wouldn't say catchy at all.
The only straight to video movie that we have watched in any of this that I knew the song as soon as it came on and I could sing it was Beauty and the Beast, the Christmas song.
Do they use that in other things? I feel like Disney uses
that,
right?
Yes, they used it. Because I know that song. They use it in Disney World.
Okay, that's like, what I was thinking.
Stage stuff, yeah. And they've used it in other things. Okay. I'm like, I know this song by heart.
Yes, that was the only one too. When it came on, I was like, yep, I've heard this at Disney World, I'm pretty sure. Like walking around. So
that is the only song from any of the straight to videos that is actually iconic.
Yeah, none of these are memorable at all.
No.
They just aren't. It's just it is what it is. Again, our AI friend seems to think this is one of the fan-rated better Disney direct-to-video sequels, which now I'm starting to wonder what AI thinks is a bad sequel, because it seems like all of the ones we've watched so far, it says is one of the better ones.
I mean, it wasn't great, but I remember it getting...
It's not terrible.
Like, I remember people speaking very high or like positively about it. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it was good.
It was good.
I had kind of grown out of the age range of that, so I think I didn't really care for it. But, like, I remember people liking it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad one. It just makes me laugh that so far every time we've done this, the AI is like, this is one of the better ones. Well, which one is the crappy one? Because you think all of these are great.
Well, AI said that the Magic World was weak and that the second Cinderella was weak.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, so we know two that are not highly rated, according to the AI. So I did ask when I was trying to do my research why there was ice in this movie, because I'm just like, where did the ice come from? I thought we were in like
a warm
climate, but I was trying to understand where we were supposed to be located.
Did they go south?
So I don't know. There was a lot of conflicting information when I was looking this up. Some of the sources were saying that they went back to Denmark, which is where Hans Christian Andersen. They were Danish, right? He's Danish. So that maybe they went back there. I don't know. It just seems like there was no good answer to this. And then when I was digging even deeper, they were saying, well, the original Little Mermaid was in Italy. And waters over there. And I was just like, it wasn't in the Caribbean. And then I was just in like this big deep dive and I just gave up because it just made my brain hurt trying to look up all this stuff. So I don't know where this is supposed to actually take place.
The original movie never said it was in the Caribbean.
No,
the Caribbean
it doesn't.
Came from the live action.
It did
action.
Come from the live action, but the music and everything kind of led to a Caribbean feel. Sebastian's accent,
well,
all of that.
Did, but like that was that one did, but
that was
yeah.
I think that was just a stylistic choice.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's why, as a kid, I just assumed it was like Caribbean because of Sebastian and Under the Sea. To be honest with you,
yeah. So the original Hans Christian Andersen story takes place in Denmark, which makes sense because
the castle.
In the original movie, looks like a Denmark castle.
No, it looks Italian. It's like Italian based. That's what they based it off of.
Really? Because I thought it was. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked Denmarkian.
No, they based it off of settings in Italy. And the clothing was like.
I know. It could be. It's not a word.
Yeah. The clothing, the styles, all of that was based as apparently out of more like the Mediterranean area of Europe at that time. This is what tripped me up. Okay. I was like, so where the heck is this movie at?
I never really gave any thought to like regional until I became an adult. I was always just like, it's in Mermaid World.
Right? Me too. And now I'm like, wait a second.
World?
I didn't really think about it either. And now I'm just like, but where is it?
A giant talking octopus who, shakes and shimmies. Like, come on. What universe is that? You know, what regional, whatever.
I don't know.
But even with it being like Italian influence, it's still up in the European area.
Yes.
Where it would be very easy for Melody to just swing up to Antarctica.
Yeah, that she just swam. She just swam Arctic? Really far to get wherever.
Which one's Morgana which? Was. I'm losing Antarctica my geography south. Here. Antarctica. So Arctic. The Arctic.
She swam somewhere. I don't know. We don't know what direction she went.
She actually swam north.
Wherever there are penguins and walruses and whatnot.
That's north. That's the Arctic.
Okay.
Wait, so
don't penguins live on Antarctica too?
Wait.
So the opposite of north is really north? Called Antarctic. Antarctic.
Wait, north. So hold on.
Antarctic.
Region.
Why is north it? Do you see my north. Problem? This is why I stopped
north
looking
region
at this stuff.
Of Earth.
This is why I gave up. I was like, this is making my brain hurt.
I always, yeah, Arctic region, the Arctic Circle, Arctic Ocean. It's all north.
Yeah, but penguins live in the Antarctic, don't they?
I don't know. Do penguins?
Where do penguins live?
Penguins.
I mean.
Live in North Pole.
No, they live in the Antarctic.
No. They live south. So she somehow
also
went
in Australia
south?
And New Zealand and Chile and Peru. Peru. There's lots of penguins, penguin locations. So she must have went south. Or
it's very far south.
It doesn't really matter because this is obviously full of magic and they just live someplace cold
well,
nearby.
Okay. And here's my thought. So. Mermaids could swim, could have magic powers to swim very, very fast. So she could have swam from like Italy down to the Antarctic in like know. Less than a day
is
because,
a
you know,
he's
magic. Lore?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Now it is.
That's cool.
Because we just said so. So it definitely is.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm looking up.
I had so many questions.
Mermaids are depicted with immense specialized swimming speeds, often cited around 30 to 600 kilometers. So that's 185 to 370 miles per hour.
Jeez.
They go that fast?
I never knew
apparently,
that. I never knew that.
Looks like vampire speed. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yes, she could have went down to the Arctic in a day.
Yeah.
Or Antarctica in a day.
Yeah.
That makes more sense then. So that's probably what she did.
Yep.
So she started wherever they live, which could be Denmark, could be Italy, could be someplace else. We don't really freaking know. And then she went south from there.
What is the mermaid? What is the kingdom called? Atlantica.
Yeah.
So their town, their mermaid town could be Atlantis.
I thought
they could be in the middle of the ocean.
I thought they were kind of hinting at that. Like, because Triton is like a son of Poseidon. Well,
right.
No, that's Greek.
Yes, he is.
No, he is. Isn't
well,
he?
Well, he is.
He's like a descendant, right? Yeah.
That's Greek mythology. Yeah. Yeah, that's Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. Triton is a god in Greek mythology. He is the son of Poseidon.
Oh, that I didn't know. I thought they just made that up here and then just related it to Greek mythology.
No, that is actually real life Greek mythology.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Atlantis not part of Greek mythology or is that something different?
Atlantis, I don't know. Atlantis in what type of mythology? It is Greek mythology.
Oh, okay.
Atlantis is a central element of Greek mythology.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
So it was portrayed as a powerful, advanced, and wealthy naval empire ruled by the sea god Poseidon, and then it sank into the ocean.
Mm.
So, and Triton took it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
We learn new things.
There you go.
All sorts of things. Just from my confusion on the setting. And I couldn't find a good answer. So,
okay, we need to move on.
Anyway, so hold on. There was a lot about the setting, which we don't really need to get into. Okay, so ratings. Rotten Tomatoes, this has a 45% audience score, a 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb. So it's generally favorable towards Melody. So she's likable. She's relatable. She's energetic. I agree. I do like her. I think she was a good character to add to the cast. And I think she does fit as a daughter of Ariel. I could definitely see that 100%.
Yeah.
Just like previous ones we talked about, we have a lot of the returning original voices, which is always a big, big, big plus for this one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, it's interesting to see that Ariel tried so hard to get away from the sea and now she's being dragged back into it because of her daughter. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's a month heel thing she had to work on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But is it too close to the original? Like, should they have made a more original story? That's a good point. But this is a direct-to-video thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, what do you want from this?
For being a carbon copy, plot-wise, it's, like, it makes sense.
Right.
Like, there is a logic to it. And for that category of being direct-to-video, it's fine. Like, I think they, you know, they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. Could it have been better if it were on a bigger scale? Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Right. It is what it is, you know? The direct-to-video thing, I think it's fine as a story, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the animation is not going to be as good as the first one, but I don't think it was terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Ariel looked like herself. Yeah, Eric looked good. Like himself. Mm-hmm. So did Triton. Yeah, like, everyone looked like themselves. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like it was off-brand animation.
No. Mm-mm. So I thought it was pretty well done. It's a cute movie.
It's a cute movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's worth checking out.
Fun fact, the only time I ever actually watched this movie was on a bus like 25 years ago.
Okay.
As a teenager, because I was on a trip with a like teenage youth thing with my church back then. But the only movies we had available were the person who was directing it, because she had two girls, like a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And so she did it for them, but a group of teenagers on a bus were forced to watch these kid movies because that's all we had access to.
Okay.
So on a bus, that's the only time I ever saw a Little Mermaid sequel. Anyway.
Okay.
Totally off topic, but I think it's kind of, I thought it was funny.
No, it's definitely interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anything else about that one before we go into the next one?
No, I just think it's, I know people are frustrated with like Ariel turning around and kind of turning into her dad. Mm-hmm. But if we really stop and think about it, literally that happens in
real life.
Most families.
Yeah.
Like you literally turn around and turn into your parents. Like you, the fact that Ariel did, like she fought and fought and fought for her father to understand it. Turns around and just kind of shuts her daughter out of that world. It makes sense because she's now seeing what her father sees and understands what her father was trying to protect her from.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's trying to protect her daughter. Is it right? No. Should she know about her heritage? Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have somehow figured out how to catch Morgana as soon as they found out she was going to target her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Why were you leaving her there? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
It's not like Ursula threatened Ariel before Ariel went to her. I think Triton made some mistakes on not like just taking care of Morgana right then and there.
Ursula was pretty upfront about everything from day one. I mean, she kind of knew it. She didn't tell her she was deceiving Triton, but like she knew about the contract. She knew about the deal. She kind of told her everything, you know?
Oh yeah. No, I'm not saying that she didn't do that stuff. I'm saying like, it's not like she showed up at Ariel's birth and said, someday I'm going to get your daughter.
Yeah. Morgana's like, that kid is mine.
Yeah.
Morgana pulled a Maleficent and showed up and said, I'm taking your girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll be back.
So it's a little different, like when it comes to the fact that you could have taken care of Morgana.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have had to build a wall.
Mm-hmm. But then we wouldn't have had a story. And then, you know.
No, couldn't have done all this.
No, we wouldn't have.
It's good for us.
And she's 11 or 12. So it makes sense that it's not a love story. So we don't have that, which is fine. This is a mother-daughter story.
I like that better too. Yeah.
That is kind of refreshing because we don't see that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not in this time period. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't get more like, away from the love stories until later when we got like Brave and Frozen and what else was a mother, not a love story.
Well, Finding Nemo wasn't really like a love story, which was nice.
Yeah, but I was thinking like princess wise. Those two, and then the Last Dragon one. Ryan the Last Dragon. Yeah. It's not a love story.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Wish isn't a love story either.
But Wish has a lot of other
problems. Well, Wish has lots of problems. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So then after that movie came out, we got a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. So The Little Mermaid, Ariel's Beginning came out in 2008. So this one takes us back to before the movie, the original movie, came out. And we're going to see what happened to King Triton. And, you know, basically they said why he's so grumpy and anti-human in the original movie, to be fair. And I love this. This is the Footloose version, but it's under the sea for Ariel. Just made me laugh. And I was like, it really is, honestly, because we see Triton and Queen Athena, they're ruling the seas, they're happy, they're, you know, dancing together, it's a whole thing. And then Athena dies. Mm-hmm. Again, as one does in a Disney movie, we kill off
you can't
mostly the mothers.
Kill off. That would just it's impossible.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, no, it's possible now. They've changed that. But back in the day. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've had both parents and a couple of the Disney
But not in these
lately.
Days.
No.
No, not in our days.
No.
Our days, we've had to deal with tragic parent loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
it's like, are you trying to teach us something? Do you really think one of us is going to lose our parents in young age? Like, is this normal?
Less tragedy in the 90s for us. Basically, this causes Triton to blame the humans, and then he banishes all music from the kingdom.
Well, and it's pirates. Pirates are evil. Pirates
I know, it's
are
not like regular people
anyway.
Yeah, they were pirates.
But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know there's like these
there's
types
a difference
of humans
between
and that
them.
Type of humans. It's like, they're all the same.
I know.
Yeah, to him,
well,
they are
because really
the
only ones on the ocean are pirates.
Yeah, he probably didn't see a lot of other people, to be fair, out on the ocean. So the movie continues on. It's 10 years later, and there's, you know, the whole city or Atlantica just is sad, right? There's no color to it. Mm-hmm. There's no music. If you listen to music, it's a crime. But Ariel meets Flounder, which is different. I haven't watched the TV series in a long time, but it's different than the way they introduced Flounder in the TV series. And I can't remember how they met in the TV series, but they basically retcon that for this. So she meets Flounder in this, and Flounder likes music, and he goes to some like prohibition type speakeasy club.
It was weird.
Where they play music. It's called the Catfish Club. And like the big musical act and like leader of the Catfish Club is Sebastian, which is very funny. I liked that revelation for this one because you would never expect that Sebastian's like the leader of everybody and the main star, considering how anti-music he is when he's around Triton and all that.
He's not anti-music, he's just very strict about music.
He's kind of anti-music in this a little bit, don't you think?
I was thinking the original one.
Yeah, no, and this one, yeah, he's very anti-music. Basically, you know, the whole plot is this, you know, Ariel wants to bring the music back. She wants to enjoy music. Triton doesn't. So there's our conflict for this entire thing. Now we do have this is when we get to see Queen Athena, as I said, and she looks pretty much just like Ariel, not like any of the other sisters, but she looks like Ariel. Yeah.
That's why Ariel's the favorite.
I know, exactly.
She's special.
She looks like her mom. Marina Del Rey is the villain, kind of. She's voiced by Sally Field. So she's the governess, and she wants to replace Sebastian, but I don't know. She doesn't really do much in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's the villain, but not really. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we get to see all the sisters and get more interactions with them. And then we also have Benjamin, who is Marina's manatee sidekick. I did like Benjamin because he didn't really do much, but he was funny whenever he did talk. So he made me laugh. This one was the last direct-to-video sequel ever produced. This was it.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until I was looking all this up. The animation is better in this one than The Little Mermaid 2. It is a little bit punched up, higher quality. So that's something for this one. And then we pretty much have this main cast. You know, Jodie Benson's back. Samuel L. Wright as Sebastian are back. But Jim Cummings is actually King Triton in this one. That's his first time.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other actor, I don't know if he died or if he just wasn't acting at this point. One of the two. He was kind of old.
So yeah.
It could be. It could be one or the other. So we get to see all the sisters. So Ariel has six sisters, which get like no attention in the first one, essentially. But in this movie, they're heavily featured, which I liked seeing all their different personalities. So Atina, she's the orange one. She's the oldest, the most responsible. She has a crown like Triton's. You can tell she has feels like a lot of pressure to keep things kind of orderly. Alana, she's pink. She's glamorous and sweet. She's very interested in beauty and makeup. Adelia, yellow gold. She's the boy crazy one. So yeah, she's always talking about mermen and wanting to be kissed, which is very funny. Aquatica, she's blue. So she's like the athletic one, essentially. Arista, she's the red one. She's fun-loving and energetic. She frequently is borrowing her sister's things and loves music but is impulsive. Andrina, she's the purple one, witty and sarcastic. She's known for her sense of humor. And then, of course, we have Ariel, who's the youngest, curious, rebellious, all of that. And she gets all the sisters to go to the club against her father's wishes. Yeah, but they all have a great time. But I like this because you get to see all the sisters, like, even though they're fighting a little bit, you get to see them all like getting along and the fact that they all are really close. Yeah. And I just like that. I'm like, I would love to see more of just the sisters and Ariel and what the kind of nonsense they get into and drive Triton crazy. Cause you know, that's what they're doing.
Well, they do that. They do that in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the first movie we don't really get you know what I mean? Like the TV shows, it's a whole separate thing, which I think is good too. But if we're just looking at the movies,
The first one, the sisters are just kind of there.
Right. They don't really have personalities like this. Yeah. And, yeah.
They just go,
they're only there for that sing. Part. Yep. And tells Triton that she's in love and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And then they're, So I like this a lot better if we're going to be doing movies that have them included. IMDb, this one has a 6.1 out of 10. So it's a higher rating than the last one and a 57% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Which is weird because I don't like this one more than the second one.
You didn't? I can't.
No, I like the second one better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things I liked about this one. But
I liked it. I just don't like it more than the second one.
But I mean, I do think the villain is not really a villain. We could have just totally removed her and we still would have had the conflict there. I don't think we really needed her.
You don't really need a villain in this one.
No, because the villain is the music band. I mean, that's the conflict right there. Yeah. So I don't think we really needed Marina Del Rey in there, even though it's Sally Field, iconic, whatever. But I don't feel like we really needed that. And again, there's no music in here that really stuck out to me. Again. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I did like it. I guess I just liked it because of, I don't know. I think more so because we got to see all the sisters and stuff. So I really enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like a world building. Kind of like even in the first one, like they're all it's an interesting world, but we only see like this centralized plot in the first one. So like actually seeing kind of where everything came from and why people are the way they are, and you know, it's like in the first, you know, Triton in the first one is just this like guy who's got a strained relationship with his daughter, but he's trying to protect her, and it's like this goes deeper and like, oh no, this guy's got some like serious issues he really needs to work on.
Yeah, from what happened to his wife. I agree.
So. Yeah,
that's really all I got for this.
Oh, I looked up to see how Ariel did meet Flounder in the TV series, and they were like small, Like, she was a kid, okay. And he was tiny. And there was a flashback in the show, and Flounder's scared and identifying himself as Guppy number 35. They didn't have names. Mm-hmm. And he believed Ariel was a dangerous large fish who was going to eat him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, they're not, and I'm going to name you Flounder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the TV show had a better meme.
I like the TV show so much.
Mm-hmm.
TV show was amazing.
Yeah. I just don't know why, if we're going to do this after the TV show came out, why they didn't try and do a better like integration. But
because Disney's horrible when it comes to continuity.
They are. That is fair.
Mm-hmm.
They piss me off.
They can't really be bothered, I guess. Because we didn't even have to. We could have already had her friends with Flounder. She didn't have to meet him in this.
Mm-hmm.
No, she didn't. She was already friends with him anyway.
Yeah, but everyone loves a good origin story about everything. Like, I feel like they would bet. This came out, what, 2007? Around there?
Was it?
2008.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were just entering that time when everybody wanted some sort of origin story for everything. Like, it was... Mm-hmm. And we saw all of that in the next decade to come, but, like, that was kind of like, you know, we were really starting to dip our toes into that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was like, oh yeah, hey, you know this thing you love, here's how it happened, oh, big reveal, you know, hey, you know Sebastian, how you love, here's a big reveal, oh, it's this guy, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That could have influenced this for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked both of them. But they're both cute.
Yeah, they're both good. Yeah. Oh, I accidentally, where's my history? I looked up to see where, like, they ranked all the direct-to-videos.
Oh, for all of them. Because
I wanted to see, and now I accidentally closed it. Hold on. Shiza.
I know what that means. Exactly.
Don't tell. The straight to video Disney movies rate. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So, top tier Disney direct to video films, The Lion King 1.5 and Lion King's 2 Simba's Pride are often ranked number 1. And Extremely Goofy Movies number 2. I would have never thought about that being a direct to video, but yeah.
Well, it's not direct to, but it was in theaters. Wasn't it?
I don't think so.
A Goofy movie?
The first one was.
Extremely.
Goofy movie. I totally missed that. My bad. Yes. Sorry.
Extremely.
Yes.
Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch Has a Glitch.
Mm.
And then Aladdin and the King of Thieves. Was Return of Jafar in theaters?
I thought it... Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
Because I don't remember it being there, but it might have... See, I don't know now. I swear it was straight to video.
Return of Jafar.
But now I have this vague memory of seeing it in theater, but I don't know if that's just...
No,
like...
it was a direct-to-video movie.
Okay.
So why the frickety frack is it not in the top ranked?
I don't know.
Arguably, King of Thieves was better. Arguably, King of Thieves was better. Partially because they brought Robin Williams back as the genie.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
A lot of people off about the second
that
one.
Probably is, like, yeah.
Like, not only was it not Robin Williams, but it was a guy trying way too hard to be Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't.
Okay, So those are some of like the top.
Yeah.
Those are some of the top tier ones. Yeah. And then some of the lower ranked ones. It doesn't give me a middle ground. It just has the lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lower ranked ones is Hunchback of Notre Dame 2, which I never saw.
I kind of forgot it happened.
I know there was a sequel to that one.
My Beauty and the Beast Enchanted Christmas is on there.
Oh, I thought it was cute.
Mulan 2 is also on here.
Mm.
I'm gonna hurt somebody. Mm. And then Tarzan and Jane, which, again, I've never seen.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's Polygram. Oh, like this website ranked all of them. 26, Belle's Magical World is the worst. The Notre Dame 2. Mm. 24, Lady and the Tramp 2, Scamp's Adventures on the low end. Mm. Dalmatians 2, Patch's London Adventures on the low end. Fox and the Hound 2. There's a Fox and the Hound 2?
I think I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Did you know this? Seen it, it's number 22 out of 26.
Obviously not that good.
Tarzan 2. Aw, Kronk's New Groove is number 20 out of 26. Poor guy. Let's see here. Pocahontas 2. Yeah, that was not great.
Yeah.
Mulan 2 was 18th. Enchanted Christmas 17th. Brother Bear was Brother Bear 2 was better than My Belle. No. I don't like Brother Bear. Tarzan and Jane.
I don't think Brother Bear is bad.
Return of the Jafar is 14th. Atlantis, Milo's Return is 13th. Bambi 2, 12th. What was Bambi 2? Was it a prequel?
No idea.
Showing what happened between the death of Bambi's mother and his adolescence. So it was like a midquel. Hmm. Midquel is what it's called. 11th was Lion King 1.5. Mm-hmm. 10 was Stitch the Movie. What was this? Stitch exclamation point, the movie. This was the third movie. They did two extras. Oh. No, they did three extras. Because number 9 was Leroy and Stitch. They did multiple movies.
Clearly.
For Stitch. Mm-hmm. Ariel's Big Giving is number 8. Cinderella Dreams Come True is number 7. Mm. What is this nonsense?
I don't know about that.
An Extremely Goofy Movie, number 6. Lion King, Simba's Pride, number 5. Aladdin, King of Things, number 4. Little Mermaid, Return to the Sea, number 3 ranked. Cinderella, Twist in Time is the 2nd top ranked. And then Lilo and Stitch, Stitch has a glitch is ranked number 1 on this website.
Interesting.
According to them, they did polls, but, mm-hmm. you know, these are
who knows
entertainment websites.
Right.
Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah. So. I mean, Mulan 2 is, we'll get into it next week, but Mulan 2 has its moments where it's like, ooh, why'd you do that? Mm-hmm. But I enjoy Mulan 2. I watched it yesterday for funsies. I apparently watched the wrong thing. I should have watched Little Mermaid, but it's fine. Yeah. I've seen them before.
That's fine.
I need to rewatch the first one before I watch it because I've literally only seen the first one time and it was in the theater.
The first one is beautiful.
Yeah. Highly recommend rewatching that.
Movies.
I remember liking it. I remember it being really good.
It is a really good movie.
Reflection is like one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, definitely worth a rewatch.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the grandma.
Yeah.
Perfect. Would you like to stay for dinner? Would you like to stay forever? That's the man I'm going to join up the next war.
He's too cute.
I love her. Yeah. She's so fantastic.
I love her too.
He's a lucky cricket. And then walks. He works! As everyone's like destroyed in the background.
Mm-hmm. I love her.
But we're talking about that. We're talking about Mulan 2 next week
to wrap it up. Yeah. For the month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're not doing all the direct videos. We're only doing some of the princesses. We didn't do all of them. Like, we didn't do Pocahontas, mostly because I don't consider her a Disney princess. But that's me.
Mm-hmm.
What else didn't we do? We didn't do The Lion Kings. We didn't do... We already talked about Aladdin in our Robin Williams
one. Yeah, we did that last
time. I believe. Mm-hmm. So you can go check that out somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then after Mulan, we're going to do what we do every year in March. Marvel March. And I actually looked and you have it figured out.
Yes, I have a list.
Cool.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I did it.
I have not done Star Wars month yet.
I noticed. It's blank.
I kind of forgot I needed to do that.
About Star Wars wise, because I feel like we've kind of, like, they haven't really done anything new, have they?
I was going to look to see if there's anything we can do that we haven't talked about yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Not, like, entertainment wise, maybe, like, some, like, behind, maybe something else behind the scenes of.
I can't
remember if we've. What we've talked about behind the scene wise. So I put it there. We might just do one episode and then do something else the rest of the month. Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay. We shall see.
I know there's something new coming out or did come out. There was like one show, but Ahsoka season 2 is supposed to be coming out at some point. I just don't know when. They filmed it. It's on the course for 2026, but it does not say when. So that might be a next year conversation. Mandalorian and Grogu comes out May of 2026. So we do have that movie. Depending on when it comes out in May, we could potentially, if we want to go to the theaters and watch it and then talk about it. Potentially. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know Star Wars. And there might be a lot of announcements or a lot of weird things changing with the regime change. So
we'll love to see what updates.
We might be just talking about the regime change in May.
I like your choice of words. The regime change.
It is. It's a regime change.
Yeah.
We are getting... Did you... Okay, so there are a couple documentaries that just came out on Disney Plus. One with about Harrison Ford's journey. And talking about like Indiana Jones, and then a Star Wars one. Did you know Kathleen Kennedy was actually an assistant to Spielberg in the Star Wars movies and the Indiana Jones movies?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
For a while,
she worked her way up.
I did not know that. She was talking all of a sudden. She was in the documentary talking about it being on set, and I'm like, "What are you talking about? You're not. You weren't anybody." And then it showed she was just an assistant. I'm like, "Oh, so you were there? Dang it!"
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I get it.
Not a fan. I'm not. Yeah. But we'll see. Filoni's taking over, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
And if he does bring in a lot more of what George was going to do, I'm interested to see how that's going to go.
I
hope he has somebody to help him tell him no if he gets a little too specific lore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope he has people who will tell him no, like George had people to tell him no in the first ones.
Well, he had people to tell him no. He just didn't listen.
He listened more in the first ones than in the prequels.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about the originals or are we talking about the prequels?
The originals. The originals. He had people telling him no in the originals. Yeah. He did not in the prequels.
No, actually, things are coming out that he did.
He didn't listen then.
No, he didn't listen. That's the whole thing. Yeah, no, evidently there was a lot. From what I'm seeing, I'll have to look it up specifically, but like, yeah, there's a lot of things coming out where people are talking about working on the prequels with him, and he's telling him no, and he's like, nah, I'm going to do it anyway.
He could. He had the money. It was his studio.
Yeah. That's true.
In the prequel or in the originals, it wasn't his studio. He had to listen, sadly. Right. Even though he broke budget how many times?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, Pixie Dusters. Oh, go ahead.
No, the only thing I was going to say about the Star Wars stuff is like, I'm trying to think of anything that would actually get me excited about new Star Wars content. And I think part of it is like, I'm kind of over just rehashing the same nostalgia bait. You know, like, just give me something new. But then again, like, I don't know. I've shot myself in the foot with that. Like, give me something new, and then they do, and then I don't like it. I'm like, man.
I mean, we got Star Wars Starfighter coming out in 2027.
Yeah.
They apparently are doing an animated series that comes out in April called Maul Shadow Lord.
Oh, I did see that.
That's a rehash.
Yeah.
I mean, Ahsoka, Ahsoka's a continuation more than a rehash of her from Clone Wars.
Yeah. The selling point was the fact that we saw Anakin again.
Well, there is talks about, I don't know which project it is, but there is a project where apparently Hayden is going to be back as Darth.
Oh, all right.
So he's not done.
That's cool.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I do now too.
I liked him back then. I was in the minority, but I liked him back then.
I don't think I understood enough of what was happening in front of my face to appreciate what was going on.
That's fair.
I don't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
Andor season 2. I never did watch that. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Pixie Dusters. Well, we'll see you next week to talk about Mulan.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're getting into Marvel with some Thunderbolts and apparently Daredevil and Ironheart. And
yeah.
Maybe Captain America.
We'll see.
Maybe Fantastic Four.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Dancing.
Yeah.
Dancing. Okay, bye.
Oh, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
I'm Albert Parker, and I'm excited to introduce my new podcast series, Hollywood Hustle, available exclusively on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. But first, let me ask you, are you into entertainment? Movies, TV shows, theatrical releases? If you said yes, then you're going to love what we have in store. Hollywood Hustle, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network, is a unique blend of business insights, news, and entertainment. In this series, we delve into the financial underpinnings and business deals that keep Hollywood thriving. Want to understand who really runs Hollywood? Follow the money with us. We'll explore intriguing topics like the rise of the 60-second microdrama and the recent cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel Live, dissecting the business decisions behind these events. Plus, we'll tackle the current struggles of Hollywood films at the box office and what that means for the economics of the industry. If any of this piques your interest, don't miss out. Subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for early access to episodes, all ad-free. I'm Albert Parker from 1950 Studios and Limitless Broadcasting Network, and I invite you to tune in and subscribe to Hollywood Hustle now.